Morning, church. Happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead."
Once again, I want to thank the children from our churches, sister churches here in Worcester, and we'd like to keep this going. Let this be a tradition here at our church. We can share music with our other churches, and we can invite them to share music with us. Amen? Amen. I want to thank Emil for reading the scripture this morning. Thank Jane for doing offertory. It's one thing, Jane will never say no unless she's out of town. So thank you. Having her son serve the Lord. Thank you, Jane. Thank you. This morning, I want to take a look and follow up with something that our pastor spoke about last week. He talked about our church, talked about our place here in the community. And they were supposed to be peculiar. Peculiar meaning unique, different. If we all had the same color cars, or if all the flowers were the same color, it'd be boring. The uniqueness that we spoke about last week is not just for variation's sake, but a difference of character, a difference of morals, a difference of beliefs. And we should not be ashamed to share that with other people. My message this morning is entitled, Our Community. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3. That's good news. Living hope. A lot of prophets have died. A lot of great religious leaders have died. Only one has gone to the grave and come back. That's a tremendous hope. Our task is simply just to share our beliefs with the community. A lot of people get caught up in the details. Well, how do you do that? You know, what's the strategy we're going to use? And sometimes people get caught up in the details. It's difficult for them to see the forest for the trees. It reminds me of a story when Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson went camping. They pitched a tent, dug a fire pit, and commenced to create a wonderful meal out there. After overindulging in adult beverages, they lay down and went to sleep. In the middle of the night, Holmes wakes up and he nudges Watson. He says, "Watson, look up. What do you see?" Watson says, "I see a lot of stars, millions of stars." So Holmes asks him, what does that mean? So Watson pondered for a moment. He said, "Well, astronomically, I see there are millions of galaxies and probably billions of planets. Astrologically, Saturn looks to be in Leo. Theologically, I can see that God is all-powerful and we are probably insignificant to him. Meteorologically, it looks like it's maybe a little after 3, and meteorologically, it looks like it's about, we're gonna have a good day, and hourologically, it looks like it's a little after 3. And Mr. Watson paused, he looked at Holmes, he says, "What does it tell you?" And Holmes says, "Watson, you idiot, somebody has stolen our tent." Sometimes you get caught up in the minutiae and you miss the big picture. We have a simple task. Sometimes it's awkward. Sometimes it causes you to go out of your comfort zone, which is a good thing. This morning I want to take a few minutes and share with you something about our community. I'd like to take a moment and define what is our community. Second, I'd like to tell you the advantages of a community in Christ. And third, I'd like to tell you what is the purpose of a community in Christ. Let us pray this morning. Father in heaven, I ask you to hide me behind the cross. May all words point to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is a community? Somebody tell me, what is a community? How do you define a community? Yes, sir. A church or family? What else? Those in our sphere or circle, right. Somebody else, what is a community? Say again? Neighborhood you live in, right. So we're seeing associations by region, associations by birth. So a community is a group of people that have a common characteristic or common belief. We're in the community of Worcester. This church is a subset in the community of Worcester. We have families here, subsets of this community, of this church, of this community in Worcester, of the community of Worcester County, of the community of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Right? A people who have a common interest come together. And now, not now, last 10 years or so, we have, with technology, you can be part of a community and live anywhere in the world. You log into Facebook, you log into different social media, part of a community. You could be in Malaysia, you can be in Thailand, you can be in the UK, part of a community. So people who have a common history, a common social, economic, political, or even spiritual interest come together and they form communities. It's a natural thing. People go to the Red Sox game, hey, it's a crazy community. You think, wait till they start winning, people go crazy. Wait till they win the series, people go crazy, you break windows, and it's like, wow, I thought this was a good thing, but that's Red Sox Nation, right? Crazy, crazy. So a community has a common interest. I spoke about this last year, a common interest, a common union, communion, community. They are all related. So we are associated today, we're part of a community because we have a spiritual interest. We're gathered together in this region. We're gathered together today in this church. So we are a community. We are a subset of a community of believers. So what's our responsibility? Number two, I want to tell you the advantages of being a community in Christ. When Christ sent the disciples out, he sent them out two by two, correct? Right. Go together. Go together. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. Go together. One of the advantages that I believe in a community is that a community that's unified in Christ is that we can persevere together. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's tough at work. Sometimes it's tough at home. Sometimes it seems like you're just carrying the burden by yourself. The Bible tells us in Matthew 24, I'd say verse 7, 8, for nations shall rise against nations and kingdom against kingdoms. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes. And these are the beginning of sorrows, and they shall deliver you to be afflicted and shall kill you. But if you go down to 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You got to persevere. You can't quit. You can't give up. That's one of the greatest advantages of being community. Persevere together. Second advantage I'd say that we should note this morning is found in Hebrews. Hebrews 11, I think it is. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. Number two, benefit of being in community in Christ, we can encourage one another. Sometimes a good word of encouragement can go a long way. Let people know that the struggle you're on is not unique to you. Where we live in New Mexico, a friend of mine, the heat had caused his mirror to fall off the windshield. So he called me up and I said, hey, go to AutoZone or Advanced Auto Part and look for this part. I'd repaired my rear view mirror before. So I said, look for this part, it works well. Make sure you just use a little solvent, use like a fine razor blade to scrape off, make sure you have a clean surface. So he calls me back 5 minutes later. He says, Paul, I said, what happened? I put the mount upside down. He's like mad about it. I said, Brown, this can't be the first time this happened. Go back there and ask him what to do. And he went back and said, you take the solvent and you put it around the edges, heat it up with right? So sometimes the struggle you have is not new to you. It's new to you, but it's not new. Sometimes a word of encouragement can do wonders for people's psyche. Keep them going in the right direction. We can encourage each other. We should encourage each other. The Bible says in the same chapter, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Right? People get knocked down here and say, hey, remember, it's not here we're going. It's not here where we're going to stay. He's coming. Paul reminds us, he's going to come. He's tarrying. Why? Because he wants all to be saved. There's come a time when time is no more. He's coming. Encourage people with that. Third thing I'd like to share this morning is that the benefits of being in a community of Christ. Galatians 6. We can bear each other's burdens. Where is that? Galatians 6, chapter 1, verse 1 says, we are to brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a man in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You help people. Now, I know I use a lot of sports analogies when I speak, but they are sometimes apropos, at least in my mind. I think they're good. If you watch the Celtics play, team comes into the garden, they did their homework and they study who who's playing what and what position and what moves they like to make. And everybody has film day. After the game, you look at the films, you get ready for the new game, and you talk to the coaches, you know, coordinators, offense, defense, and you have your strategy set up. The opposing team starts beating you in the low post. The opposing team's beating your star player. What do? You change players. Not to throw him out, but that the whole team can win. Right? It's a team ball. One person doesn't win a game. Team ball. So this guy's getting beat. He switched players. Right? All of a sudden, it's working. What do? They change their strategy. And you constantly change strategies. Bill Parcells was a fabulous coach. His successor here at the Patriots, Bill Belichick, does the same thing. You can beat him crazy first half. Second half, he comes back, and you think you're playing a different team, right? What do we need to do to win? What do we need to do as a team, not as individuals? So when you bear another person's burden, you can lift them up. If they're in sin, if they've made mistakes, you can encourage them, and you can keep them going in the right direction. I believe that you can't get to heaven by yourself. That's my belief. Gospel according to this Paul. You got to tell somebody. It's good news. You got to tell somebody. You got to tell somebody. It's good news. I don't know if you caught in the news yesterday afternoon. Somebody goes down into Virginia Beach Municipal Office. Shoots up a dozen people. Killed them. Probably another half a dozen or so. 8, 10 are injured. I bet he could use a good word yesterday. Right? A good word. I don't know what his problem was. We may never know because he was killed by the police. But that man needed a good word. Probably needed more than a good word. You know, he needs someone to remind him that Christ said, I am coming again to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you will be also. People need a good word. People need a good word. Every time you turn around, there's a crisis. Nations rising against nations. Wars, the rumblings of wars. Now it's with Iran. People need a good word. The Bible says this is going to come to pass, but don't worry. Right? This has to come to pass before I come back. And you let people know we have a hope. We have hope. Our verse says we have a hope, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's good news. So the last point I want to bring up this morning, what is the purpose of a community in Christ? We had defined the community this morning. We talked about the advantages of the community. What is the purpose of the community? I submit to you, plain and simple, it's one thing, to bring us into a perfect union with Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters. To bring us into a perfect union. Because when we are perfectly match with Christ, our character looks like his character. What did David ask in Psalm 51? Create in me what? Clean heart. Man. David wanted to be washed of his sins. He got forgiveness, but he paid a price. So often people want to make their decisions free of consequence. That's not real. Every decision has a consequence. If you decide to tabernacle with Christ, he will draw you in. When your character looks like Christ, when he comes back, he'll recognize you. It will be like looking in the mirror. There's one, there's one, there's one. Father, here's another one. Money matters, just a little bit. Like Charlie said, people have so much and they give so little. Amazing. People put money in the ground. People store their wealth. They can live 1,000 lifetimes and not run out and hold on to it. We are called in Matthew 5 to be perfect. Therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. 2 Corinthians tells us that we are to cleanse ourselves from anything that defiles the body. Cleanse ourselves. Philippians 3:12 says that Not that I've already obtained all this or have I been perfected, but Paul says, I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of for me. I'm pressing on. Can't be distracted. If I get knocked down, somebody should be there to lift me up. If you watch football games, guys get knocked down, take a hard hit, what happens? Everybody runs over, picks them up. It's a tough game. But we're marching to win. We're going to the goal, right? The community should be such a support structure. Community should be such an encouraging structure. Community should be such a warming and heartfelt association that, man, we are just concerned. I don't see Abby today. Call her. Hey, I missed you last week. I don't see the Shans. Hey, you guys out of town? Oh, we're in Europe again. If I don't see Jay, I haven't seen him in a couple weeks. I say, hey, Jay, how you doing? Oh, we're at this church. We should be so focused on this church that when people come in here, they say, man, there's something about this church that's different than Worcester, any other church in Worcester, right? We're looking for a builder whose maker is Christ. Looking for a cornerstone. We're looking for an example. Trying to exemplify that which you've seen. So, three things I want to leave with you today. One, the poet John Donne says, no man is an island, no man. You are part of this fabric, of this community in Worcester, of this community, Worcester Seventh-day Adventist Church, of this community in your family. No man is an island. No woman is an island. Everything you do affects somebody else. You may not know it, but it does. For the better, for the worse. As a believer in Christ, we have a source of knowledge. Don't get caught looking for the forest and miss it for the trees. Share your story. Sometimes it's awkward. Sometimes it's hard. Share your story. If you can't share it, live it. Most people see you and watch you before they talk to you. We have a great source of knowledge. Second, as a believer in Christ, share the living hope. The living hope. God is coming back. Christ rose from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, I believe the Apostle Paul said, when he rose, he was witnessed by 500 people. 500 people. Peter and James, and Paul closes out that by saying, and unto me. Paul saying, I saw Christ. He was crucified and he came back. I saw him as well. He lives. That's our great hope. He lives. And the last point I want to share with you, let the Spirit of the Lord transform you. Nobody likes it when they get beat up. Nobody likes it when the going gets tough. Very few people do you see, bodybuilders, lifting lightweights. Big Mark is not so big if he wasn't lifting heavy weights. It doesn't happen. Right? The trials that come are to shape in you that your character will look like Christ. James says, consider pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be perfect and complete, not lacking anything. Not lacking anything. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, let the church say.